Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
It is our final hour of the Hump Show, which means many of you are waking up on your Wednesday morning feeling like you got hit by a truck or that you did a face plant right into the hump. That's kind of how the middle of the work week feels. Then there's another contingent of you who had a long weekend and had the whole Monday Veterans Day situation working in your favor, and so you're not feeling it quite as much. We're here for you, whatever your special morning. If you're feeling great, awesome. If you're not, okay, we're here to try to make it better. It's our Hump Show on After Hours with Amy Lawrence, CBS Sports Radio. I appreciate all the feedback about the Le'Veon Bell situation. So he has allowed that deadline to pass. He's decided that he's better off missing the entire year. It's hard to fathom for you and I, and actually for a lot of players in pro sports, to leave $14.5 million on the table, not to mention the health and retirement benefits that be roughly $200,000. So to us, that's a lot. To Ramon Foster, inside his own locker room, that's a lot. But he believes that he will end up getting what he wants by skipping this season. He thinks it's to his benefit, and that's his decision. As a grown man, that is his decision to make. As a guy who ultimately has to look out for himself, he believes this is the right way to do it. I think the Steelers get the better end of this, and I don't think it could have worked out better for them. They still control his rights because he skipped this entire season, which means they've still got the ability to franchise tag him or to transition tag him, meaning they still hold the cards. Maybe they'll come to an amicable agreement. They'll find a trade partner, a situation that plays out for both. I hope that Le'Veon finds the contract that he's looking for because he's given up a lot. Think about what he sacrificed. I hope this doesn't blow up in his face. Not to mention he's an incredible talent. Who doesn't want to see him on the field again? I didn't think it would come to this. And I'm not sure you could have found five people at the beginning of the year who actually believed he would skip the entire season. And he didn't either. As recently as October 1st, he said he missed football and he couldn't wait to play again this year. So his decision changed. His perspective changed based on what was happening with the Steelers. And that is James Conner and the offense and the 5-game win streak. Life comes at you fast. And so now he's chosen to stay away. The Steelers are in a good spot. I don't know if they win the Super Bowl, but I don't know if they would have won it with Le'Veon. This is football, for heaven's sakes. The Eagles won the Super Bowl last year without their starting quarterback. Let's be honest, it never quite works out the way you think it's going to. So I do hope he gets what he's after. I hope we get to see him on the field again. But right now the Steelers are sitting pretty. They save the money, which is really a side note. More importantly, they've recovered from what was a poor start. They've found their footing, and they're in a great spot. So thanks for your tweets, A-Law Radio. My column in which I kind of outline my different opinions and my view, my perspective. I put in some historical kind of numbers in there as well, a bit of a timeline. That's pinned to the top of my Twitter page, as well as to our Facebook page, After Hours with Amy Lawrence. Our phone number is 855-212-4227. That's 855-212-4227. And we're inside the Quicken Loans studios. National mortgage lender Quicken Loans. Apply simply, understand fully, mortgage confidently. Plenty of drama in the NBA as well. It's a wild Tuesday in sports, actually, with a whole lot of news breaking. So I'm glad that I was back for tonight's show / Wednesday morning show. The Warriors make quite a strong statement in suspending Draymond Green for a game without pay. Now, if you don't know all the details, I would recommend that you read the column by Marcus Thompson. He writes for The Athletic, and even though it's a paid site, this column is unlocked, and it's available on social media. Some of the details are relatively explosive. Now, this started on Monday night with time running out in regulation, a tie game against the Clippers at Staples Center. And Draymond gets a defensive rebound and keeps the ball himself. Kevin Durant is calling for it, doesn't get it. Dre fumbles the ball away. They go into overtime. But before they get to overtime, the two of them start yapping at each other on the bench. Teammates try to step in. Boogie Cousins, Sean Livingston, Andre Iguodala. They try to separate the two. But they keep yapping. They keep jawing. The team ultimately loses in overtime. And then they get to the locker room. And all hell breaks loose. According to Marcus Thompson, there was name calling. There were accusations, which this part we knew from earlier reports. There were accusations that KD is kind of stringing people along with this whole free agency situation, and that there are guys in the locker room that know he's leaving, so why isn't he just say so? Why is he going to put them through this all year long? And Draymond not only went hard at KD, but reminded him that the Warriors were champs before he got there. So we're talking about low blows here from Draymond. We all know that he's fierce, he's competitive. We all know that he at times allows his emotions to get the best of him. But how do they rebound from this? This is a team that is willing to put egos aside for the good of the franchise, is willing to put egos aside to win rings. But does this do permanent damage? Does this leave a scar that the team can't recover from? That's the question that Marcus Thompson asks in his column. And he's a guy that has covered the Warriors extensively. He wrote a book about Steph Curry that included Steph and his family. And so he knows the team, the franchise, and the players really well. So I'd recommend that you read this. The team had to turn around and play on Tuesday night. Of course, they were doing it without Draymond. And they won. Big games for KD, big games for Klay Thompson, who was the guy stuck in the middle after regulation, before overtime. If you've not seen the video of the two of them jawing at each other, Dre and KD, it's comical that Klay Thompson is the guy kind of stuck in the middle. Have you ever been in that situation? You're between two people who are arguing, maybe at a family gathering, even as Thanksgiving is a week away. I know, I see the weird stuff. I get it. Anyway, so it was bad. It was bad in the locker room. They had to play on Monday, and you can tell from Kevin Durant's post-game comments that it's not been smoothed over. This has not been fixed. He hadn't spoken to Draymond. He said as much. Reporters asked him if they'd communicated. He said, nah. He said, we probably will. It's a long season. But from his demeanor, his tone, his body language, you can tell it still bothers him. It would still bother me. No doubt it still bothers the rest of the locker room. This was Draymond attacking one of their guys. And the fact that the team suspended him as opposed to just fining him, according to Marcus, Dre expected a fine, but he feels like a suspension is heavy-handed. It's not like they haven't had these emotional outbursts before, and usually they cover Dre and they say, you know what? This is Dre. Also, he's a team leader. How does this affect their chemistry? Do they still lead the guy who went after Kevin Durant? There's a lot of unanswered questions. We know that sports, locker rooms, teams very often emulate family dynamics. And families have problems. Heck, my brother and I get into a blowout at least once a year. Families have problems. We don't agree. We don't see eye to eye. But we are bound by blood. And in this case, they're bound by contracts and by their commitment to playing for the Warriors. They can't really get away from each other. But the fact that they spend so much time together could also mean the situation continues to fester. It's After Hours here on CBS Sports Radio. So again, KD following the game, you could hear it in his voice. You could see it in his body language. It's not done.
I'm going to keep that in house. That's what we do here. I mean, obviously, I know you guys got a job to do, but I'm not trying to give nobody no headlines. What happened, happened. We're trying to move on. Just trying to play basketball.
He was also asked about what it was like to play without Draymond. The fact that Dre's nowhere near the team and that they had to go ahead and play on a back-to-back. Right, so it didn't even have a chance to cool off. They had to be right back together again. In fact, travel back from L.A. and then play a game on Tuesday night as well. So really, there's been no cooling off period whatsoever.
I mean, his presence has been a part of this team for a while. I mean, before I got here, you know, he's been a huge staple in his organization. So obviously, it's definitely weird not having him around and not just everything that went down.
And so who's going to be the peacemaker? We know that it's a role Steph Curry has played, can play. Sean Livingston, he's a voice of reason. I thought it was really neat to see Boogie Cousins trying to talk Draymond down. I mean, Boogie? Okay. But also, how about the dynamic between KD and Draymond Green? They've gotten into it before, but never this bad. Dre's the guy that recruited Kevin Durant. And so all of it is, I would say, teetering on the edge of a major disaster if it's not there yet. But this team has overcome a lot. They've had to remain on top.
You know, you shake it off.
They can do the same here, but it means forgiving. It means forgiving. It means putting behind you. It means not holding on to things. It means recognizing that sometimes people say things they don't mean and they regret in the heat of the moment. Can they do that? Steve Kerr, he's had his run-ins with Draymond before, so this is nothing new for him.
My feeling on Draymond and his impact on our team doesn't change. These things happen sometimes in the course of an NBA season. And so we deal with it, again, internally. So any conversations that are happening or have happened, that's our business.
I do respect KD, and Steve Kerr has always been this way, but I do respect KD for not wanting to air this publicly. I mean, he's got social media accounts. He's got burners, right? He could use one of his burners. He could give himself a different name, use one of his burners. Instead of Kevin Durant, he could be, what's another K name? Kimberly? He could be Kimberly, and he could come to the aid and come to the defense of KD. Kimberly Diamond. Oh, there you go. Except that sounds like a stripper, maybe. What do I know? I have no idea. So I've heard. Okay. Open mouth, big mouth, insert your foot. Kimberly Diamond it is. Watch out for that burner account on Twitter. You never know. It might be Kevin Durant.
I'm not trying to get nobody no headlines.
Oh, gosh. So the Warriors make a strong statement. This does certainly seem like they're siding with KD, although what Bob Myers said is that we all agree Dre crossed a line. And that would come back to the name calling. I'm not going to tell you what name. You can read Marcus Thompson's column, his article. It's really good. It's worth it if you care about the situation or just the dynamics of any locker room. All right, so you can check that out on social media. While you're there, make sure you vote in our TD of the Week poll. One of the choices for Touchdown of the Week is running laps around the other three, but I'm not going to tell you which one. It's getting a little help. Someone retweeted it in a particular market in the country, and so now there's a lot of extra votes. So if you'd like to even things out and give a national perspective to the poll, well, you can find it on Twitter, After Hours CBS, also on our Facebook page.
You are listening to the After Hours podcast.
James Conner is currently third in the NFL in rushing yards and third in the NFL in rushing touchdowns, and he's already over 1,000 yards from the line of scrimmage which is one reason why the Steelers aren't or don't need to, don't seem like they are, but don't need to fret the fact that Le'Veon Bell hasn't showed up. Now, I don't know what happens moving forward. There are multiple options. I've heard some reports that he becomes an unrestricted free agent, referring to Le'Veon Bell. That is a possibility, but it's not, I would say, the likeliest scenario because Pittsburgh still has options. But we'll see. That is down the road. And for now, the Steelers are focused on winning an AFC North title and maybe a bye in the AFC. They're in play for that as well. Funny how that tie comes into play. And there's still the most important part of the season ahead, not to mention the postseason once we get into January. And so I guess the positive is that the Steelers don't have to think about it anymore, at least the players and the coaches. There had always been this possibility until Tuesday that Bell could report and they'd have to adjust. And certainly a Le'Veon Bell on any roster without the drama makes for a better team. But it doesn't come without drama, and it doesn't come without a lot of questions, and it doesn't come without distractions. Now at least they can take a deep breath and know they have something concrete for the rest of the season. They know he's not going to play. They adjust accordingly. Although Mike Tomlin has nothing to adjust because he's been saying the same thing all along.
I've told you guys, and I've told you guys consistently, a reaction comes from me if and when he walks in the door. Until that happens, I'm business as usual, focused on those that are here and working, and appropriately so. That way I don't waste my time and theirs.
So for Mike Tomlin, for the Steelers, they get a little bit of closure. And I think there's always some leeway. If you ask professional athletes, there is the aspect of business that many fans don't consider, right? We're about the loyalty. We're about the passion. We're about the do or die. We're about sticking with the uniform and supporting our players and our teams no matter what happens. And that's great. It's entertainment for us. Sometimes it's also heartbreaking, but it's the thrill of victory. It's the agony of the feat. It's adrenaline. For the teams, there's also the business aspect. And everybody knows that in pro sports. And so there is some leeway. There's some wiggle room. His teammates are understanding to a point. Now, I'm not sure they all are on board with a holdout, and certainly not all on board with this decision. But guys understand that there's a business aspect to it, and you have to get paid because you have a limited window, which is another reason why I'm stunned that Le'Veon Bell gave up an entire season. It's already a limited window for a running back in the NFL, and he just gave up a year in the prime of his career. Forget the money. Forget whatever money he left on the table. Maybe he'll make it back, or maybe he'll make that big contract that some of you are referring to that pays him $30 to $40 million guaranteed. One listener even suggests he get 5 years, $100 million. Okay, great if you can get it. But you don't get that $14.5 million back, nor do you get that year in which you play in the prime of your career. So I appreciate that Tomlin deflects a bit and points to the business, but, I mean, there's still some emotion wrapped up in it.
I understand that business is an element of the game of football. There are elements of the game, relationships within the game, football-related relationships that we all hold near and dear and understand. And then football at this level, there's also the business element. And even when we don't understand it, we're sensitive to it. So we're not shocked when things happen from a business standpoint.
Yeah, I would agree with Tomlin, and I like that he points that out. He makes that distinction, but I bet there's still some shock. And maybe it's already worn off. Maybe they were already shocked that Bell didn't report. But the relationships, you wonder how those have been affected, similar to what I was talking about with the Warriors and Draymond Green and KD. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence here on CBS Sports Radio, 855-212-4227. That's our toll-free line brought to you by Geico. With a quick way you can save money, switch to Geico. If you need homeowners, renters, or motorcycle insurance, you can get it all at geico.com. Let's work on a quick call here at the bottom of the hour. Bart is listening in Pittsburgh. Welcome to After Hours.
Thank you so much for taking my call. Sure. I'll make this short and sweet. You already read off the stats about James Conner, and I want to talk about the Le'Veon Bell. I think being from Pittsburgh, you know, you could tell around this city that's passionate about their football, and I think it's just time to move on, and here's my reason. I think both sides, it worked out well. I mean, you couldn't ask for a better replacement than the guy named James Conner out of Pitt Panther University. You know, local boy, and he's doing really well. As you said earlier, Le'Veon Bell, we know he's one of the best running backs in football. Unfortunately, they couldn't afford him. He gets to move on. Maybe some team like Oakland or Cleveland will pay him the money that he thinks he deserves. But I think both sides, it worked out well. He gets a year of healthy legs walking into free agency and all his credentials that he has and brought with him to free agency.
Can I ask you a question really quick? Do you think it's that the Steelers couldn't afford him or chose not to pay him more than the 5 years, $70 million, which they offered? Both sides confirmed that the most recent deal was 5 years, $70 million, but it wasn't enough guaranteed money for him, which that's $14 million a year.
That's a very good point. I mean, that's the highest any running back has ever been paid. Let me take that back. Not so much maybe they couldn't afford him, but maybe his price tag was just too high for them, you know, and I respect that. It's a business decision. He's a great football player. He can play the run game. We all see the man can catch.
we certainly do. I would agree that there aren't too many players like him. I mean, this is a guy that has a unique skill set and has made the most of it, and it has been dynamic. He's a game changer. He's a superstar. It's going to be interesting to see how many teams are willing to offer what he's asking for and if he's still asking for the same. Right. So I don't know how much does his tune change moving forward. And then I brought up the Todd Gurley contract a little bit earlier in the show. So he ended up getting 21 plus million dollars guaranteed. Actually, it was nearly $22 million guaranteed. Now he's having an MVP like season. Don't know if he'll win it. We've got Pat Mahomes and some other QBs in the equation. But guaranteed at signing, nearly $22 million. His signing bonus was $21. He ended up signing for 4 years, $57.5 million. Bell turned down 5 years, $70 million from the Steelers because there wasn't enough guaranteed money. That was the report. So if you're using Todd Gurley as a gauge, well, then you wonder, how much more will it take? How much more does Le'Veon Bell want? How much more guaranteed money than 22? So these are all questions that remain to be answered. The interesting part, I think, for me is that the Steelers still have some say in this. They still control his rights. He doesn't get this year of service. He doesn't accrue it. And so the Steelers still have that year of service that they can play with, and you know there's going to be a grievance. You know the NFLPA is going to be involved. This is a battle that could set a precedent. So it's not cut and dried. It's not black and white. There certainly is going to be a fight over it moving forward. The Steelers also don't want to lose him and get nothing in return. So there's a various components to it. But at least for now, it's not something that the Steelers locker room has to worry about anymore. 855-212-4227. Jimmy Butler, he says his reputation isn't warranted. I don't know why I'm laughing. Maybe that's the case.
You are listening to the After Hours Podcast.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
It's a Touchdown Tuesday on After Hours.
Firing for the end zone. Caught! Touchdown! Touchdown!
Takes it himself to the pylon. Touchdown!
1 man to beat 10. He's gone.
They throw in the end zone. Caught! Touchdown! Hey, the guy missed. He's inside the 5. He's to the 3-2-1. Touchdown! Summers helping into the end zone. Touchdown!
To cast your vote for the TD of the week, head to @AfterHoursCBS on Twitter or give us a call at 855-212-4227. Los Angeles Chargers.
And they'll bring the house. Rivers throws to Gordon on the screen. 1 man to miss, and of course he makes a miss. 40, 45, midfield 50, 40. No one in front of him. Flash to the finish line. Touchdown, Chargers. 66 yards to pay dirt, Melvin Gordon.
The Kansas City Chiefs.
Empty backfield, Mahomes. 3 eligible right, 2 left on 3rd and goal at the 14 of Arizona. Snap to Mahomes at his belt. Sidestepping. Fires for the end zone. The pass is going to be caught. Touchdown! Kansas City, Tyreek Hill. But Patrick Mahomes now has set a Kansas City Chiefs record, bringing his own ice to the party. 31 touchdowns in a single season, breaking the record of Lenny the Cool Dawson 55 years ago.
The Cleveland Browns.
Callaway near side of the right. Landry in motion left to right. Mayfield under center. Second down and 10. Takes the snap. Gives it. Chubb runs. He's to the 10. 15. He's to the 20. 25. 30. 35. 40. 45. 50. There goes Chubb. He's to the 30. 20. 10. 5. Touchdown. Chubba-lubba hub. 92 yards.
The Buffalo Bills.
They put Kelvin Benjamin in motion. First and goal from the 7. Barkley takes, play action fake, looks into the end zone, fires short, he's got a man open, and it is Dawkins! Touchdown, Buffalo! Deion Dawkins, touchdown! Who are these guys? Who are these guys? The Bills with a 7-yard touchdown pass to Deion Dawkins!
This is After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
Such a fantastic group of calls from Week 10 in the NFL. You get to choose which one floats your boat the most. So find our poll on Twitter, After Hours CBS, or on Facebook. Nick Chubb's 92-yard run with Jim Donovan on the Browns radio network. Melvin Gordon with Matt Smith on the Chargers radio network. Mitch Holtis with Pat Mahomes, record breaker on the Chiefs radio network. And then, who are these guys? John Murphy on the Bills radio network. So we'll reveal your choice coming up on the next edition of After Hours with Amy Lawrence, CBS Sports Radio. 855-212-4227. That's 855-212-4227. I promise we will jam in some calls coming up, but I also told you that you could hear from Jimmy Butler. He was introduced in Philadelphia on Tuesday. Sometimes my days get mixed up. He was introduced Tuesday in Philly. His team was in Florida. He flew to Florida after the press conference to join Brett Brown and to join his new teammates. And if you missed my conversation with Keith Pompey, who covers the Sixers for the Inquirer and a couple of other publications from Philadelphia, he was really good, great insight on Butler, what the role will be for him, and how the teammates have reacted to him joining them. It'll be part of our podcast, After Hours, AmyLawrence.com. Before you cast any type of cryptic nonsense in the direction of Jimmy Butler, well, that's what he would call it. We all know he has a strong personality. That's not in dispute. But whether or not he is a cancer in the locker room, whether or not he's divisive, whether or not he's going to destroy chemistry, he says he's not who you think he is.
You really wouldn't know who I am unless you're around me every day. And for the most part, that's why I don't worry too much about what everybody says. If you know me, if you're around me, you know my heart, and you know how I go about what I go about. I love my teammates.
His new teammates now, young teammates, like he had in Chicago, like he had in Minnesota. Sometimes they rub him the wrong way. He's been pretty open about that. So how much grace will there be from Butler to his new teammates and from his new teammates back? At least they can agree they've got one goal in mind.
That's the reason why everybody plays this game, is to win a championship. I mean, MVPs are great. Scoring titles are great. Defensive players of the year, great. But, man, that trophy, getting that ring, knowing that for that point in time, you're the best team in the world, that's special.
That is the goal. Or as I often see on social media, hashtag squad goals. 855-212-4227. Every time I say something that's sort of hip, I get a look from Chris on the other side of the double pane glass like, what did you just say? That sounded so odd coming out of your mouth. His reaction always indicates to me when I said something that wasn't age appropriate. Admit it, Chris. Just admit it.
Admitted.
You better stop that if you want to keep your job much longer. There are things that you do that make me want to roll my eyes, and I do not. I give you a little grace. Let's not be Draymond and KD here, because you can't win that power struggle. I'm just teasing. I like to use my sports analogies. Okay, David is in Dallas. David, welcome to After Hours CBS Sports Radio.
Hello, Amy. How you doing? Thank you for taking my call.
You're welcome.
Yes, I want to talk about the Le'Veon Bell. I don't know if you recall, but if anyone talked about it, he's a repeat NFL substance use policy offender. And why would you want to invest your money in a running back that you're not guaranteed? And then Steelers did the right thing for keeping the money, because if they had invested the money, you know, he may have disappointed them.
Well, okay, yeah. But, I mean, you could always have a guy who signs a contract and then gets injured. There's always contingencies or things that pop up that you're, you know, that you maybe aren't prepared for, that you didn't, you know, that you would have to pay for anyway. So I certainly understand what you're saying. And there has been some people who've mentioned that. I would hope that teams aren't game planning for that. But you're right. He's in the program in the NFL. And if he would run amok of the drug policy again, the suspension would be far steeper. So, yes, that's definitely a concern. I don't hear it come up much inside football circles, but you're right to point that out. It's not as though he would get a whole lot of grace from the NFL, because he's been caught before.
Yes, and I don't blame them for keep tagging him for that. They might not talk about it. It's going to keep it in-house.
I'm sorry, what part will they keep in-house?
They probably keep it in-house and thought about it and said, well, you know, we better keep tagging this guy because, you know, he can't be trusted.
Oh, maybe. I mean, I can't either confirm or deny that, but it's probably, because it's such a big business decision, at least part of their conversations. But they're right not to bring that part up publicly. That's not necessary. David, thank you so much for your phone call. I appreciate it. Sean is listening in Atlanta. Sean, welcome to After Hours CBS Sports Radio.
Yes, I'm on both sides of the fence. I agree with Le'Veon
Bell. You're straddling?
And yes, I'm straddling. And I want him to play because for this year, for insurance policy. And he could be a legend in Pittsburgh. I understand his position, but be gone now. I don't want you anymore. And also, I read early in the season that 5-year, $70 million contract, if I read it correctly, it was only like $10 million guaranteed. Does that make any sense? Because I was saying I wouldn't sign that contract either.
Okay, so you're saying I don't know the exact number of guaranteed money. I do know that that was the sticking point, and that Le'Veon's camp said no way, that's not enough guaranteed money. So that was the reason that he turned it down. So you're saying that he should have maybe Todd Gurley guaranteed about $22 million. Would that be enough?
Yes, because the guaranteed money. Because I remember being upset, like I can't believe that was an insult. I was insulted.
Okay.
But getting guaranteed less than the franchise tag. And, yeah, he should get Gurley money, of course.
Well, Gurley's deal, at least compared to the one that Bell got offered last time by the Steelers, Gurley's deal is a year less and about $13 million less, though he did get the $22 million in guaranteed money.
Well, I think the most important thing is a guarantee, because if you get injured, you know, I guess they can cut you, I'm assuming. And that's all you're going to get is that guarantee, not the full contract.
I mean, if you get injured on the job while you're playing football, you still get paid. And even if they would cut you, the money is – it's a workman's comp situation, essentially. So they can't not pay you because you got hurt. For instance, Dez Bryant, 2 whole practices with the Saints, and he's still getting paid for the contract that he signed.
Well, I mean, I'm saying Bell wouldn't get $70 million.
No, he'd get what was guaranteed.
Money.
Yeah, no, he'd get what was guaranteed in the year that he was in, for sure. I appreciate that you can see both sides. Thank you, Sean.
Thank you.
Let's talk to Will, who's in Georgia as well. Will, welcome to After Hours CBS Sports Radio.
Good morning. First time. I used to listen to DA when I was in Texas from the hours of 11 and 2 o'clock.
Mm-hmm.
Now I listen to Amy Lawrence from 4 to 6.
Sweet. Thanks so much.
Yeah, so anyway, I wanted to talk about the Saints, but you just threw so much on the table. I want to jump to the Warriors. I'll talk about the Saints when the playoffs start. How about that?
Sounds good.
I think Kevin Durant probably is going to have his mind made up that he's going to leave at the end of the year once they win another ring. It's just not worth it to stay there with all that drama with him and Draymond when he can go somewhere else and get another max contract.
What about another ring?
And well, he's going to get that ring this year, but I look at it like this. He sacrificed for the ring. He'll have 3 rings, if I'm not mistaken. Now I'm going to go make my money, and hopefully I can play with LeBron and possibly win a ring. I would love for him to go to the Lakers. I've been a Lakers fan for all my life, just like a lot of other folks. But I would love for him to go to the Lakers and make a, you know, and have a dynasty with him and LeBron. I think that would be a good fit. But I do love the NBA because I like what Jimmy Butler, you know, they traded Jimmy Butler. I just love the drama, so to speak, in sports. You know, it keeps you on your edge and wonder what they're going to do, you know, and this and that and so forth. So with all that being said, I'd like to hear a little bit from you, and have a great day, and thanks for taking my call, and go that who that nation.
All right, Will, thanks for the phone call from Georgia. And I talked a lot about the Draymond Green, Kevin Durant situation. It's really going to be up to KD if he's going to forgive Dre and let it go. But there's also a faction of guys inside the locker room, as Will mentioned, that believe KD is already on the way out. And so rather than trying to squash all the distraction and the constant questions about KD's free agency, he's chosen to leave that open. And so there are people who side with Dre, though not necessarily the way he attacked KD. And so I think, we're going to see in the next few days whether or not this locker room, experienced guys who've been through a lot with major personalities, can put it aside for the good of winning, or if it's too much for them to overcome. We'll find out. Thanks, as always, for your phone calls and for your tweets, A-Law Radio. You've been really busy on social media tonight, as well as on our Facebook page. Lots of you responding to my column about Le'Veon Bell and his decision not to play in 2018. So I'm sifting through all of those. We can talk more about it on tomorrow's show. We're getting close to week 11. I have to say one more thing, though. Congratulations to my all-time favorite hockey player, Joe Thornton, who last night in a tie game third period against the Nashville Predators scored his 400th goal. So not only was it the game winner, but he becomes just the seventh player in NHL history to have 400 plus goals, 1,000 assists, and at least 1,500 games. The other players in this category, yeah, Ray Bourque, Ron Francis, Gordie Howe, Jaromir Jagr, Mark Messier, Steve Yzerman, and now Joe Thornton of the San Jose Sharks. So a really awesome moment. You don't see him celebrate a ton. He's mostly subdued. Even when he's on the ice, you'll get a fist pump, you'll get a smile. But he went nutso in front of the home fans at the Shark Tank, the SAP Center. It was a pretty amazing moment. I tweeted the video earlier before the show. I hope you'll check it out. And also his message to the fans afterwards. So congratulations to Jumbo. Talk to you tonight after hours with Amy Lawrence, CBS Sports Radio. Boom!
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.